Jesus. We are in our third message today about our pivot series. And I want to start off by just kind of stating the obvious. You know, there's couples that you meet, dating couples that you meet, and sometimes you look at them and you just go, they're just like a perfect match. You know, they just kind of go together. And one day you can kind of see them walking down the aisle one day and saying, I do together. They just, you know, they just look so cute together, like they go together. Then there's other couples. You're thinking it's not going to last a week. You know, it's just like, it's just a total mismatch. You don't know, like, how did that happen? I mean, and so I looked at some couples that got married, and I thought, you know, they probably should have thought about this a little bit more. There was one wedding that took place. The bride's last name was Gory, and the groom's last name was Butcher. Gory Butcher wedding happened. This is one of my favorite ones, Hardy Har. I don't know how you don't laugh if you officiate that service. This one describes my family well, Looney Ward. I bet that wedding was crazy. And then the last one I think all of us men would really love to be a part of, this is the wedding we'd love to go to, More Bacon. I want to be at that wedding, you know? So some matches are just highly unlikely, aren't they? Even when it comes to marriage and dating, but even so spiritually. Many of us, if you were to ask us just 2 years ago, hey, would you have entered, are you going to enter into a relationship with Jesus and be part of a church family and be on a life-changing direction with Jesus Christ? Many of us would probably use some colorful language and said something effective. There's not a snowball's chance in the oven. I'm going to be walking with Jesus anytime soon. All right, that's just not going to happen. And I want you to know, this church is made up of a bunch of former cynics, skeptics, and a whole bunch of disinterested people. But we met someone who was an authentic follower of Jesus, and we had this gnawing dissatisfaction in our life. Basically going, there's got to be more to life than what I'm experiencing. And all of a sudden, we were open to the message of Jesus just a couple of years ago, or even the last several months. Many of you have given your life to Jesus. I think about maybe it was a failure, a marriage failure, a relationship failure, a financial failure, vocational failure, maybe a parenting failure, and that went on, that sent you on a search for forgiveness and redemption. For many, the single greatest catalyst for spiritual journey, if I would be honest with you, is pain. Maybe it's grief, maybe hurt, maybe a death. And that gut-wrenching experience left us reaching out for God, and we pivoted our lives in a whole different direction than we could ever dream of. We talked about, a couple weeks ago, we started the series talking about belief. Belief in Jesus. That's when I start pivoting my life. When I realize who Jesus is, he is the Son of God. And I accept him as my Lord and Savior. He died on the cross for my sins. And then that leads to the next step, and that's repentance, that I have a conviction and a brokenness of my sin, and I transform away from my sin with God's help. And today we talk about, which leads to the next thing, that is defining and declaring. The Bible calls it confession and baptism. This is our theme for today. The Bible oftentimes defines our relationship with Jesus like a marriage. So what happens when a couple gets married? They publicly define, declare their love for one another, their commitment to one another and to God before family and friends at the wedding ceremony. And with deep love, they look in each other's eyes, oftentimes with tears, and they have a verbal confession of till death do us part. And then that's followed up with a visible expression. That is a commitment. There's a giving and receiving of rings. And basically, when you get that ring, you're telling the whole world, I'm off the market, okay? I'm single. I'm not single. I'm taken. And what's interesting in the Bible is we see these two ways of defining and declaring our relationship with Jesus. First, we verbally confess with our mouth, and then we visibly express our faith by being baptized with our body. And today I want to talk about why both of those are so meaningful when it comes to pivoting your life. So the first step is this, and that is the verbal expression is so important. Here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10. It says, if you what, church, say it with me, if you what, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's three questions that come to confession in my mind. The first question is, what is it? Why do it? Third one is, how do you confess? Now, some of you came from a background, and when you think of confession, you think of going into a confessional booth and confessing your sin to a priest. You go in and you say, hey, Father, please forgive me for I have sinned, I've lied, I've cheated, I'm a Titans fan. I don't know what it is, what you confess, but it reminds me of the story of these two boys are arguing about which church is the best. And he says, you know, one kid says, my priest knows more than your pastor. And the other boy says, well, he should. You tell him everything, you know. So I thought that was fascinating. But we're not talking about confessing your sins. We talked about that last week when it comes to repentance. But today we're talking about confessing what you believe about Jesus, publicly declaring your faith in Jesus. The first verbal confession we see in the Gospels is when Jesus asks his disciples, who do you say I am? And Peter speaks up like he always does, and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that verbal confession is an affirmation of your devotion to Jesus. You're saying to God, I'm not ashamed of your son Jesus. I'm verbally confessing Jesus Christ publicly is this. I am proudly saying I believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. I accept him as my Lord, which means he's a leader. He calls the shots in my life. And I accept him as my Savior, which means he is my forgiver of all my sins. Now, why do that? Like, what purpose does God have in mind when he says that we ought to confess the Lord with our mouth? I think there's a couple of reasons. Number one is this. It crystallizes your personal decision. When I go to Celebrate Recovery on Friday nights, I see people say something like this. Hi, I'm Nathan, and I struggle with codependency, and I struggle with anger. Now, that's hard to do, but what that does is it identifies the problem, but also invites the group for support around me. And that's what we're doing. We make that verbal confession of Jesus. We're saying, hey, I'm Nathan, and I'm a sinner, and I need the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. And I'm pledging to live the rest of my life for him. And that public confession draws a line in the sand. Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. The second thing it does is it inspires others. I mean, the Bible tells us to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And one thing we love to do here at RCC is share stories of people and what they've done, because we hear what normal people have done when it comes to their relationship with Jesus. It inspires us. I've heard people say, you know, for a long time, I was reluctant to go public with my faith in Jesus Christ. But I saw my neighbor, I saw my son, I saw my daughter, I saw my spouse, I saw a friend, a coworker get baptized. And it inspired me. And I thought, well, if they can go public, then I can too. So how do we confess your faith? How do we do that? Well, Romans chapter 2 says this, 10, it says, with your mouth. Now, show of hands, how many of you at least have heard something horrible at least one time come out of your own mouth? Raise your hand if you've heard something horrible come out of your own mouth. My hand's up. Some of us have cussed. Some of us have slandered, gossiped, said horrible, hateful things. When we said it, like a missile that got sent out, wish we could retract, wish we could push the rewind button on. But verbally confessing is your chance to use your mouth to do the most positive thing in the world you can do. And that is express your faith in Jesus. And I think about Romans chapter 10, it says this, that we have to also believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Listen, words don't mean anything unless they come from the heart. I know this because my wife reminds me of this all the time. I leave the house. I love your age. Leave the house. She's like, come back and do that again. All right? Like, you need to put some meaning, some heart behind that. Right? I mean, can you imagine if you were at a wedding and all of a sudden you heard the pastor say, the groom said, do you take this woman to be your wife? And he says, well, I guess. Do you take this man to be your husband? Sure, okay. I mean, you know, the heart is everything, right? So you confess with your mouth, believing in your heart, and this isn't a one-time event. Like, you do this all your life. There's a sad verse in John chapter 12, and it says this, but many people believed in Jesus, however, including some of the Jewish leaders, but they would not admit it. Why wouldn't they admit it? Why? For what? Fear. That the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue. For they love what? They loved human praise more than the what? The praise of God. They went silent about their faith. Why? Because they didn't want to face human rejection. A mentor of mine is a pastor in Southern California, and he tells me about a woman who came from a Muslim country, from a Muslim family, and she stood up on baptism week to confess her faith and to be baptized. And when she came, she was shaking. She was shaking because she knew if she publicly declared that Jesus Christ is her Savior and visibly expressed her devotion to Him by being baptized, she was literally risking that her family would cut her off, disown her for the rest of her life. In fact, in certain circles from her homeland, it would mean being killed to go public by saying that Jesus Christ was her Lord and Savior, that He was Lord over her family's values, over her family's heritage, and even her own safety. Family, a true follower of Jesus is someone who defines by confessing their belief in Jesus for the rest of their lives. And then they declare that commitment visibly by getting baptized. Now, many of us are kind of fuzzy when it comes to knowing what baptism is. So the question is, what is baptism? Well, I want to point over here to Exhibit A, to my far left, your far right, and that is our baptistry, all right? This is, we call it the jacuzzi for Jesus, all right? It's chlorinated, perfect pH balance, it's warm, and we practice full immersion here. You might go, why do we do that? Well, it's because that's what they did in the New Testament. We do what they did in the Bible times, and that is they went all in. In fact, they just didn't use a cup of water. In fact, you go, well, how do you know that? Well, because look at Jesus. It says He went from Galilee all the way to where John was, which was outside Jericho. He traveled on foot 150 miles to be immersed. In fact, the word baptizo means immersion. And why it's so important, we believe, is because it connects us. It's a beautiful symbol of what's most important in Scripture. That is, it connects us to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So when a person comes to Jesus, they come as a sinner, needing the payment of Jesus to pay for their sins because He died on the cross, and we come to knowing their old self is dead. I used to do baptism in West Virginia, and we'd always say goodbye. Like, hey, goodbye, Bob. Like, meaning when he come out of the water, he was a whole new creation. That's what the symbolism of this, that I died to myself. I'm buried in the water, just as Christ was buried in the grave. And then as Jesus was raised out of the grave, I am raised out of the water. Now, thankfully, we don't wait 3 days before He raised you up out of the water, okay? We've never lost a single person yet. Baptism is this incredible illustration that made our pivot possible. And what made our pivot possible is through the death, burial, and resurrection. Let me share with you a verse that shows this connection. I wish I had time to talk about it more thoroughly, but in Romans chapter 6, Paul is connecting baptism to the death, burial, and resurrection. He says in verse 4, we were therefore buried, there's that buried word, buried with Him through what? Through baptism. Into death, we died ourselves in order that just as Christ was what? He was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father. We too may live a new life. He's saying you are different. Remember when you committed your life to Jesus, you connected with the death, burial, and resurrection. You're different. So here's the question. Why should I be baptized? Well, why should I take the plunge? I think there's at least two reasons. Number one is this. Jesus commanded it. That's a pretty good reason, right? I mean, Jesus never asked you to do something that He wasn't willing to do Himself. He was immersed. He set an example of baptism by being baptized Himself. And after resurrection, then He gave us followers of Jesus, Matthew chapter 28, which is our mission here at RCC. This is not an option. This is a direct imperative. This is what we do. He says this, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, doing what? Say it with me, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, is what we do here at RCC, and teaching them to obey everything I have, what? Commanded you. This is a command. Honestly, it puzzles me that anyone who decided to say yes to Jesus would be reluctant to be baptized when the leader and forgiver of your life who hung on the cross for you commanded you to do it. I know in all of us services, we have huge sport fans. Any Jag fans in the room, raise your hand if you're Jag fans, okay? So you guys are actually here now. It's good. There's no game today. So imagine a huge sports fan, all right? Huge sports fan, and he goes to all the games. He's got season tickets. He just says, man, I'm a fan of my team. I don't miss a Jags game. But I want you to know something about me being a fan of the Jags. I never cheer for them. I don't clap. I don't wear any Jag gear. You know, I do love them. I mean, I love them, but my love for the Jags, it's just a private thing. You know, it's a private thing. That's crazy. Like, if you love your team, aren't you going to go public? Right? I mean, I've met people almost every week that go, yeah, I love God, and I've got season tickets to RCC. I'm on God's team, but my faith's a private thing. Baptism, going public, getting dunked and making my hair look like a drowned chihuahua, I don't think so. That's not for me. Because my faith's a private thing. Friends, Jesus commanded you to be baptized. And if you're taught about baptism and then refuse to be baptized, then I think it's fair to ask the question, is Jesus really the leader of your life? The second reason is this, and that is, it's just normal for every follower of Jesus Christ. Today, before you leave, we're going to give you the opportunity to spontaneously and visibly express your faith and being baptized. I'm not talking about a new thing. Like, we disciples of Jesus have been doing this for 2,000 years. And I want to walk with you through amazing conversion stories, really not every one of them, but most of the conversion stories in the Bible called Acts. And you will see that every time there's a conversion, there's always two components. There's belief and there's baptism. Let's just take the first one. Peter's preaching in Acts chapter 2, and all of a sudden, the people hear the message of the gospel, and they go, uh-oh, what shall we do to be saved? Because we're lost. And look what Peter says from that question. Look at the words. He says, repent and be what? Baptized. Every single one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm an action guy. I'm like, okay, I hear what you're saying, but I want to see what you do. Well, look what these guys did. When they heard the message, what did they do next? Look what it says. Those who accepted his message were what? They were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number. These last two words, notice when. Say it with me. 1, 2, 3. That day. They believed, they repented, they confessed, and they got baptized that day. The next scene is Acts chapter 8. Now, the message of Jesus is going to the Samaritans. And the people of Samaria are hearing this guy named Philip preach about Jesus, and they believe, look what it says, when they believe Philip as he proclaimed the good news, that's the first step of pivoting, of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, they were what? They were baptized, both men and women. When? That day. In the same chapter, an incredible transformation story of an Ethiopian eunuch who's a high-ranking official. He's running along his chariot, and the same guy, Philip, shares the message of Jesus with this man, and look what he does. I love his eagerness. Look what he does. They rode along together. They came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be what? Baptized. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. I love that story. And then in Acts chapter 16, the conversion of a businesswoman named Lydia. She's with some other ladies, and they're by a river. And here comes Paul, and he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they hear it, and look what happened next. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord did what? He opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And when she, this businesswoman, and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. Notice it was her household. And by the way, that happens a lot here at RCC. People make that decision. God's prompting them. Somehow God's also moving in their own family. Other people are being prompted to get baptized. I want to tell you a story about Gail. Gail's watching online, like many of you right now are watching online. And I'll say it like I said when Gail heard this. If you want to get baptized in the next service, just come on down here and we'll baptize you in our next service. Well, Gail heard that message. She's watching online. So guess what she does? She gets in her car and goes to the next service. And next thing you know it, she's sitting next to her family. She didn't know, but her family was in the same service. And she's sitting there in that moment in the service where I call people to stand up if they want to get baptized. Guess what? She stood up. Guess who else stood up? Her granddaughter. So guess who got baptized together? Gail and her granddaughter Summer. Isn't that cool? I mean, that's one of the coolest stories ever right there, I think, of God moving in households. And he's just prompting them through the Holy Spirit like he's doing in the book of Acts. And I want to tell you, church, that's why I came to RCC. I knew that the Bible's real. I knew that God would move in people's lives just like he did in Acts. And I see it every single week here. I love it when it happens. I mean, later on in the same chapter, Paul and Silas are preaching to this jailer, and all of a sudden he believes, and he asks the question, what shall I do to be saved? And look what happened with him. He believed in the Lord. Basically, the response was, believe in the Lord and you'll be saved. And then the Bible says, look what happened next. I want you to notice this word. Look what happened next. Say this word with me on count of three. One, two, three. Immediately. Immediately, he and his entire household were baptized. And again, they immediately got baptized when they believed. And we see this over and over. And again, family, I think you can see the pattern, right? I mean, there's 9 conversion stories in the book of Acts. And every one of them begins with putting their belief in Jesus Christ, followed with immediate response of being baptized. And I think that's pretty good reason to be baptized, don't you? Now, I know there's one final question that some of you are wrestling with today. And here it is. When am I ready? When am I ready to get baptized? Some of you are baptized as children or baptized as babies, and you're wondering if you should be baptized again. Some of others of you are starting to follow Jesus, and you're wondering, okay, how much do I need to know before I get baptized? Did you notice the examples that I showed you from Scripture where people believed in Jesus and they were baptized that very day? They didn't say, you know what, I'm going to do it when other people are with me. I'm going to do it, you know, when it's convenient. I'm going to do it when I move. They didn't say, I'm going to do it after I take a baptism class. No, they did it right in the moment. They said, God, thank you for forgiving me, for saving my soul through the precious blood of Jesus. I want to receive that gift. And that's immediately when they did it. I ran across this young man who was so eager to get baptized, and I hope you're just as eager as he is. Check out this video.
He will demonstrate his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by willingly being baptized this morning. He's been waiting on this day a long time. And so, Jordan, upon the profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, and that was like my experience. Like, I'm doing it. I mean, I'll do it. I hope some of you will say, I'll do it, all right? Because some of you are wondering, what do I do if I came to believe in Jesus a long time ago, but now no one taught me, no one encouraged me to get baptized? Like, what do I do? Well, what you do is you do what all of us do. When we learn something new from the Word, we follow it, we obey, we say, I'll do it. I'm always learning something new. And some of us are going, well, you know, my parents had me baptized when I was a baby or a young child. Isn't that good enough? Often parents want their child baptized as a sign of dedication and commitment to the Lord. And if your parents did that for you, I want you to hear me. I believe their motivation was in a great place. And you ought to be thankful for their contribution to your spiritual development because they wanted you to follow Jesus. And so in a sense, your decision as a believer, as an adult believer who wants to get immersed and be baptized, does not reject what your parents did. It completes it and it honors them. And as you're praying about it and you're thinking about that decision today, I want to share with you a story of someone who's sitting right where many of you are sitting right now at the last baptism week. In fact, they're in the room today in this service. And I want you to hear their testimony of the last baptism week. Check out the story of Jake and Katie.
Hi, my name is Jacob, and this is my wife, Katie. And my experience for baptism week was somewhat of a surprise, I would say, because my wife had made the appointments for herself and our children to be baptized here at RCC. And she didn't include me, not because she didn't want me to be baptized, but because I was Catholic, she didn't feel that I would want to. But once here in the church and there were preparations being made for the baptism, for the first time in my life, I felt presence of God and in me, and which was a shock. But at the same time, it was a welcoming and loving feeling, and I made the decision right there that I was going to share this experience with my family. On the day of the baptism, I really didn't know what to expect, because I wasn't planning on being baptized. So how did you feel once I had made that decision?
I didn't even ask Jake because I didn't want to pressure him. He had always kind of seemed uncomfortable at other churches that weren't Catholic. But if I'm being honest, I was praying that he would decide on his own. And when Nathan was talking that day, I also was just overcome with just that feeling like, maybe he's going to do it. Maybe he's going to decide on his own, because that's the only way to do it, is decide on your own and not be pressured by your wife. So he did. And I was so happy, and all of our girls were so happy. Yeah. And I can't really think of a better act to show in front of your daughters than to say, I'm going with you guys as a family, and I'm giving myself to God just like you.
Yeah. And that's really what it was. It was a presence that I hadn't felt before, and I thank God every day that I did.
Our experience getting baptized, I had no idea what to expect. It was kind of cool coming backstage, which is, you know, where the setup is, and every single person was, you know, embracing us, mm-hmm. and
they were
congratulating
so
us and hugging us and
so happy for us.
That felt good to me as a person, but to see that through my young daughter's eyes and my adult daughter's eyes and through Jake's eyes, who just had decided that day to do it, it was just overwhelming and really hard to put into words, but it just such a positive experience.
And my experience was, we had tried other churches in the past, and I never really felt comfortable. But from the first day here at RCC, I can't tell you what it was, but I felt like I had found what I had been looking for. And so,
like, it felt like we were home.
Yeah, like we were home. Yeah. And the baptism experience made it even more of a homecoming, because everyone was so happy for us. Everyone was so welcoming. We all got dressed, and we all went up through and into the baptismal basin. And it was just a overwhelming washing of love and acceptance. And for me, it just felt like a new beginning into my love for God and how to express my love for God and my family's expression of love for God. And from that day, it has been a true blessing, I believe.
And we got to do it together
in
there. That
was the entire family got to do it together, and it was absolutely wonderful. And if you're on the fence and you're like me and you're from a different faith or you're contemplating doing it, just come up here and do it. You don't have to have signed up. Just come and do it, and you won't regret it.
Pretty amazing, huh? Pretty cool right there. Let's give God the praise for Jake and Katie's story. You know, here's the thing. You're never ready. You don't get yourself together, then come to God. You come to Him just as you are, and you allow Him to change your life. And that's what's happening in Jake's life. I'm watching him walk with the Lord. So I want to give you the opportunity to be baptized today. I want to take you back to Ethiopian eunuch, and there's a question asked, and here's a question. Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? That's a great question for some of you. My question to you is, what can stand in the way of you being baptized today? Because some of you are convinced yourself there's something standing in your way. You go, well, I got some friends today. I don't want to inconvenience them if I get baptized. Listen, you're not going to inconvenience them. They're going to celebrate with you. I guarantee it. Some of you are like, well, I really worked really hard on my hair today. I look really good. All right. I don't want to mess that up. Hey, that's pride. Don't let that stand in your way. Some of you are like, well, I wasn't planning on getting baptized today. Listen, we were planning on you getting baptized. You may not have been, but we are. We got all these shirts in the back, all sizes waiting for you. Shorts are waiting for you, all sizes. We got towels coming out of our ears. We got changing rooms. We got a full bathroom back there. We got everything ready for you. All we need is you. Or maybe you're thinking, well, I'm going to wait till someone I'm close to, a family member or a friend, gets baptized with me. Listen, this is a personal decision between you and God. And maybe your example will be what will inspire them to do it. Now, we try to take away all the excuses that you can think of today so you can express your faith in baptism. But as convenient as we try to make it for you today, it still requires you to courageously take this step. So here's what we're going to do. I think it'd be appropriate for any of us who put our faith in Jesus in the past or are doing it today. I think it'd be great. It'd be good for all of us to go on record and verbally confess our faith out loud today with our mouths. Will you please stand? Everyone, please stand right now. You guys online can join us. And I want us to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart, because guess what? Scripture says you will be saved. So let's say this on the count of three together, like lions. Let's say it together on the count of three. One, two, three. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again on the third day. And I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Can we give God the praise for that confession right there? Amen. So have a seat. Have a seat, please. I'm going to tell you how this is going to work. We got everything ready for you. And if you're deciding today to go all in and get baptized, I'm going to ask you to do something really courageous and stand in a moment. And if you came planning to do it, or just like Jake, you're spontaneously deciding right now, you just stand in a moment when I count to three. And many of you believe that God brought you here today for this moment. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Don't let anything stand in your way from defining and declaring your faith in Jesus and being baptized today. This church is going to erupt in celebration when you stand. Right, church? We're going to erupt in celebration. I've heard it said a thousand steps separate, you know, you and God. And Jesus took 999 of them. But the last step is up to you. This is your step. No excuses. No waiting. No apologies. Let nothing stand in your way. So if you'd like to stand and make that decision today and honor the one who rose out of the tomb for you, this is your moment. When I count to three, I'm going to invite you to stand. Are you ready? Here we go. One, Jesus is the resurrection and life. Two, anyone who believes in him will live even if they die. And three, why don't you stand up right now if you're making that decision to follow Jesus. Just stand where you are right now. If you're getting baptized today, praise God. Just keep on standing. You can join them. All heaven is praising for you, for your decision. All heaven is praising God. Amen. So if you're standing right now to get baptized, good for you. I want you to head over here to your left. Go ahead and walk to your left right now. And while they're walking that way, give them your love. Give them your support, church. Just love on them. Cheer them on. Awesome. And if you want to join them, you can slide on back there and we'll baptize you right now. So when everyone else is standing right now, please stand right now. And while they're getting baptized, we're going to worship our great God together. Can we give God a round of applause right now? Let's praise him together.